Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, go to your churches. If the pastor gives you a chance, you lift up your hand. You say, what is it? You say, Pastor, can you allow me to greet the church? To greet the church. You say, oh, you want to greet the church? Okay, come and greet the church. Let us hear what she has to say. You say, guys, let us prepare for the coming of the Messiah. And I've realized that in this church, there is no holiness. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:14. He ends it by saying, for without holiness, nobody will see the Lord. The way we are worshiping here, I think this is wrong. And I know that only the truth will help us in this church. I love this church so much, that's why I'm sharing with you these things. I just came from a conference where the entire talk was about how to re-centralize holiness in the church. And I realized that actually that is true, because that is the only way to prepare for the glorious holy coming of the Messiah. He is talking about the wise that Daniel saw. And if you go to the book of Job, as we've read, he says the following. He says, even the duo, destruction and death, do not know where wisdom lives. Implying that even the duo, destruction and death, destruction, when they are looking for the people that behold the wisdom of the Lord, they cannot access them. At the time when people are in the bars drinking alcohol on Friday night, or in a party drinking alcohol on a Friday night with beer and wine and pizza, and for you are busy reading the Bible, or you are in a fellowship somewhere Friday night, and the pressures of Friday night, Saturday night in this country. So, at the time when she will say, or he will say on the other side, that I don't know what happened. I was drunk and I fell in sin with a man or with a woman. And now I am infected, or I'm pregnant, or I'm aborting, or whatever. Or there was a fight and there was a shooting, or there was stabbing with a knife. Whatever the problem is. The next day, when the police is looking for who were drinking in that bar, they will not be looking for you. But let me mention something that's even much more fearful. The next day, when they will have drifted away from the presence of the Lord, you will be closer to the Lord. That is the most deadly thing that sin can do, to drift you away from your Creator. The next day, when they are saying, I need to go examine myself, I think I have been infected, you will not be in that fear. Why? Because the places where destruction and death will find people, they will not find the beholders of the wisdom of God. Did you understand me? Even for the students in the university. And there's so much pressure in the university, right? Oh yes. Even for the students. You'll be in your room. You'll be listening to Christian music. You'll be compiling your notes for the week. Making summaries, reading and whatever. They will be in the discos. They will be moving from club to club. They will be going to strip clubs, whatever they do in this country. They will be in drug addiction, whatever. You will not be found there. Death and destruction, destruction and death cannot find you because you have been hidden by wisdom. Did you understand the people Daniel was talking about here? Can I move on now? And he says, the reason you are not there is because you don't fear HIV. No, you don't. But because you fear the Lord. You don't want the Lord to leave you. Hallelujah. And then he talks about a second group. He says, those who lead many to righteousness. Those that lead many to righteousness, they will be brighter. Can I first share this vision here? The three visions. May 4th, in a tremendous vision of the Lord, look at what happens. May 4th, this year, 2013, I saw the same glory of the Lord, this presence of the Lord, coming all the way from heaven, and then this presence of the Lord hit the ground. And when the glory hit the ground, I saw the entire ground became white and as glorious as snowflakes. You know when there's a snowfall, right? And you know, I was describing this to the other side in Africa where we don't have snow. But here it is easier for you to understand. It was as though there was a snowfall in the whole land. Very white, even the heaps, the grass and the walkway, it followed like this. And I still see it even now as I speak it. That glory, May 4th night, hit the ground, and the ground became super glorious with the glory of the Lord. It was like snowflakes, snow fell. That was the feeling. And I woke up. The next day, May 5th, again, heaven opened, and I saw the same presence of the Lord, the same glory, came all the way from heaven and hit the ground again. And the whole ground became super glorious, much more. In fact, so much that I felt was reflecting on my eyes. However, on May 5th, in this other one now, finally, when I looked at the glory, I saw the glory lift. Let me describe this. As the glory lifted, this is what I saw. The same tornado of the glory of the Lord. Look, the first tornado, and inside the second tornado, inside, and it like a storied building until it touched heaven. And inside there, as the last one lifted like this, I saw people in their glorious bodies being taken. May 5th, 2013. I am giving you hot bread, pan caliente, from the throne of God. Lifting people with their glorious bodies. Of course, May 7th is the one I shared before when he lifted me up towards heaven. And on the way, I saw that my garment was glorious. And then I was seeing the temple from above. That one has been fully discussed. But now this one. So now I understand that when he comes to Israel, he is able to shepherd them into their promised land. When he comes to the church, he's able to shepherd her into her promised land. This is it now. And I said, one day I will tell people, when that day will have arrived, I will say, this is what I meant. This is what I have been talking about. And I hope I'm not there to tell you this. I hope you are not there to hear this. This is why I was coming to Australia severally. This is why I kept telling you, stay out of the churches that are busy dancing and in a party. I said, let us prepare for eternity. And that would be a sad conversation. I have seen this glory of the Lord lift with the church. That's why I said, he is coming alone was prophecy foretelling of what is about to take place. Hallelujah. Can we move on now? I want to look at two things. Number one, I want to look at the people that he calls my people. Which church is this that he calls my people church? And then I will look at the book that he talks about in this vision, right? Again, if I read Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, hallelujah. Is anybody making progress here? Thank you so much. Thank you. Daniel chapter 12 verse 1, it says, at that time Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. Meaning Daniel was seeing these days from then. This moment. And then he goes on to say, it says, until then, but at that time, your people, my people, your people, he says, but at that time, your people, everybody whose name, again, but at that time, yes, your people, everyone whose name is written in the book will be delivered. Can I explain? Who are these people that the Lord is so fond of, and even before the rapture takes place, he calls them my people. Daniel saw that the Lord was fond of them. He was prepared to preserve this church. Can we move on so we find who they are? We have now found out who the wise are. That is the church walking in the fear of the Lord. So if you want to enter, you know what to do. And I gave you some practical examples. I asked you, does the wearing of that tight trouser in the house of the Lord constitute the fear of the Lord? Does the exposing of that breast constitute the fear of the Lord? Does the lying or the false prophecy or the false apostolism, whatever it is, does that constitute the fear of the Lord? So you can really bring it down into the practicality of your salvation. So you know what to do. So can we move on to the next step now? And also find, who are these? We saw that those who lead many into righteousness, they are even brighter than the wise. But now look at this today. He says, if those who are wise enter, bright like the heavens. He says now, for those who lead many into righteousness, they are brighter like the stars shooting out forever and ever. Meaning, I will give everybody according to what they have done. Behold, I come and my reward is in my hand. If you led people in righteousness, greater reward. That's why I was talking about the judgment seat. We don't have time to go into that depth. But look at this now. The question then becomes, ever since you became Christian or you became a pastor, let me begin with the Christians. Ever since you became a Christian in this nation of Australia, have you really led people to the righteousness of the Lord? Can I rephrase it? Has your salvation really led people into the righteousness of the Lord? And I think that's a very serious question. Because I gave the example of Kenya. And in Kenya, I said, when you do the meeting, they always interrupt me. Man of God, there are some 20 Muslims here. They are saying that since you began this service, they have been watching. And they are saying they cannot wait anymore. They want you to stop and first lead them to that Jesus you are preaching before you continue. He is the one that always interrupts me with the microphone. And so the question is, and when you look at them, you say, oh, my daughters, my sons, come. I'm willing to send you to the Lord. I'm willing to lead you to the Lord. I'm willing to... And they come. But if you look at the dressing of the Muslims and compare with the dressings of the church, has the church in Australia really led people into the righteousness of the Lord? You see, that's why you're shaking your head. You say no. In your practice as a believer, as a born again, as a Christian, has your life evangelized the righteousness of the Lord to the heathen, to the world? The opposite, I think, is true. The opposite is true. That in the salvation that the church has led in this city and in this country, many have refused Christ. We don't want. I cannot. She's running around with men. She was with this one, now she's with another. I cannot, because they seem to be all about money. When I went to that church, money, I gave up. I don't want. I cannot, because I could tell that that man was lying when I was in the church. Has the church, in her practice, really led people into the righteousness of the Lord? That is what this vision is asking the church. That is the probing of the church by this conversation. That is the awakening, by the way. Because I'm saying, okay, I know now in the ministry, women are dressing holy, very holy, and so forth. In fact, no wonder the Muslims are now coming in large numbers. Large numbers. One time, remember, we were walking the streets. I don't know whether you were there. When we were walking the streets, then there are these Muslim women that came and said, wow, now, if you dress like this, now we are ready for you to minister to us, to preach to us. We were very shocked in the streets. Meaning, they are also looking for some God with power. And they have been waiting for the church. But in this country, even as you have done your salvation, have you really led people into the righteousness of the Lord? The opposite is true. When they came here, sometimes they found that there is greater sin in the church than in the world. And they ran away. Sometimes people lost their innocence in the church. Isn't that a wake-up call for the church? Let us move on now. And he's saying, how about the pulpit? Ever since you became a minister of the gospel, a pastor, have you really led your church into the righteousness of the Lord? Your church, begin with your church. Have you really led your church into the righteousness of the Lord? And if the answer is no, can we talk? Can we discuss this? What is it that has stopped you from leading your church into the righteousness of the Lord? If you are a woman pastor, is it those men in the church who are financing you? They pay my rent. They are always around me. They make me feel safe. Is that the relationship that is keeping you from allowing the Holy Spirit to use you to bring righteousness to the world, even to the church? Remember, without righteousness, your church will go to hell. Remember that righteousness is the only aspect, the only thing that lasts forever and ever, that makes the church imperishable. Only righteousness separates the church from the other religions. Otherwise, same. If you are a male pastor, whichever, is it the false prophecies you are involved in that is keeping you from bringing righteousness to the church? And can you stop it tonight? That Jesus may have his way? Because sometimes you say, no, I am a prophet. No, and you know the Lord has not called you into that office. And you know, for as long as you are doing so, you are perpetrating falsehood, deception, and lies in that church. That church cannot realize righteousness. Is it the women who are financing you in the church? You know, there is that phenomenon in church. They come in, they say, we are the main financiers. I'm one of the few who have some serious stable jobs, and we are paying. We meet with the pastor, we discuss the rent this month. We will discuss serious projects. Does that stop you from bringing righteousness to your church? Then guess what? You rather cut it. In the book of Ezekiel, he tells Israel, your parents were Amorites, what he mentions those, and then he says, you need to cut the umbilical cord. He tells Israel, you must cut the umbilical cord and stop feeding from the beast, the stomach of the beast. I think we need to cut the umbilical cord, that we may become independent. In fact, dependent on the Lord alone. We cannot be serving the Lord and we are sucking from the stomach of the beast. He says, for me, I said, until today, I still believe that Jehovah is a very good God. Until today, I have not seen another reason for not believing. I said, I have not yet slept at the door of the city public toilet with a blanket, that I may now begin to come and lie. And even if I slept there, it could be something the Lord is passing me through. That does not stop him from being Jehovah, and does not ever stop him from being holy. Let us be careful. Isaiah walked for 3 years with a torn cloth, naked. Right? He still remained Jehovah, the God of Israel. Hallelujah. Let us be careful. Sometimes we are looking for comfort and sweet and so much comfort. But let me tell you, I think time comes when we need to choose the Lord squarely without compromise. And that is the only way you can become vessels for this hour. Vessels for this glory. I'm not promising you suffering and trials and tribulations and whatever. I'm only saying that the Lord that feeds the birds and watches over them so well every day and clothes the lilies more than Solomon in the splendor of his wealth is able to take care of you, the children of Jehovah, and without corruption, right? Can we move on now? Who are these people that he calls my people? Let us go right away to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 on. He says, Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? He says, or what fellowship can there be? Rather, what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Did you see the my people, church? And he says, verse 17, therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. And he says further on, touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So, what is the message that this speaks to us in this conversation of the vision of the rapture of the church that Daniel saw and the Lord showed me? He's saying that there is a special people called the elect of God. You can almost call them the select of God. And he's saying, these special people, he calls them my people, meaning he loves them, he's fond of them. In fact, to the extent he says, I will be their God and they will be my people. At some place we are going to read another one where he says, and they will call on my name and I'll answer them. I'm sure you want to be among these people. And so the question then becomes, if you are a pastor, are you preparing a church, a people unto the Lord? That's the first question that comes up. When you look at your church, are you preparing a people unto the Lord, a church unto the Lord? Or you are just pastoring as a profession, as a livelihood? Now listen to this now. Listen to what he's saying. He's saying that the people that Daniel saw, the Lord called his people. He's fond of them. He loves them. He says he's a separated church. He's saying that church is a separated church. That church does not mix light with darkness. Are we together? Now that you may know, if you want to be the My People Church, then it is there now. Then you know you can never mix darkness with light. That's what he's saying here. And that raises, it screams out the first question, the first cry to Australia, to Sydney, to Brisbane, to Melbourne, Perth. And the question becomes, is the Church of Christ in Australia, is this Australian church really a My People Church? Excuse me. Is it a church unto the Lord? How? How will you know that this church is really God's people, the Lord's people? And he says, they cannot mix light with darkness, because light plus darkness always equal to darkness. Are we together? I'm going to repeat this. He's saying that the only way you know whether the church in Australia, this church, is a My People Church, God's People Church, a people unto the Lord, is when there is no mixing of the light they have
with the darkness. And he says, why? Because light plus darkness in this salvation is always equal to darkness. There is no mixing. Light from plus darkness is darkness. Meaning, when you take consecrated meat from a feast, and you say, let me take some home, and you use your cloth, which is unconsecrated, to wrap it and tie it, does that meat still remain consecrated? That's what he's saying. And so when you look at the entire church in Australia, then you can understand that there is a tragedy in the land. Right? Oh yes, there is a spiritual tragedy here. Now you can understand that the nation has been hit by a tragedy. Because when you look at the church, you find that they have mixed the two. Yeah. On one hand, she is a Christian, or he is a Christian. On one hand, he wants to do some worldly things. And yet he's saying that the people that Daniel saw entering, that the Lord called my people, they were a separated church. The church that are separated from the world. And the more modern a nation becomes, the worse it tends to be. To the extent that they almost don't see the relevance of the Lord anymore. Why? Because if you want to go to Brisbane, the road is clear. In fact, it has signs. It tells you turn left and keep going, and then you have a GPS, right? You have a GPS. And the GPS can tell you how many kilometers are left. The GPS will tell you where to turn, when to turn. And in the smart vehicles you have, it will tell you how much fuel will take you. But I am here to tell you that GPS is not God. Stop worshiping GPS. I see there's a serious worship going on here in this nation. They are worshipping GPS machines. To them, it is God. I'm here to tell you that good roads that makes it reliable for you to arrive. In Kenya, probably you need to kneel down and pray a lot before you start the journey. Pray and weep and say, Lord, I don't want an accident. I don't want this car to break down. Help me before you leave. But here, probably you don't see that. The roads are good. But I'm here also to tell you that good roads are not God. Stop worshiping them. I see the whole nation is in a serious worship. They're worshiping cancer hospitals. Sometimes you need bad roads that you may worship Jehovah. Sometimes you need bad hospitals that you may worship the Lord. If that is what will take you to heaven, so be it, right? Yeah, because I see there is a serious worship here. You're worshiping good hospitals and good doctors. Hallelujah. They walked for many years in the wilderness. They did not see even one dentist, right? Oh yes. Good roads. I think good homes are God. I think they're so beautiful, they must be God. That's what Australians say. But I'm here to tell you, good homes are not God. Sometimes you need a bad home that leaks for you to pray, Lord, tonight I don't want the rain on me. And then you can worship the Lord. That is important. Because the modernism, the post-modernism that has eaten up this country is what has eaten into the church. Where now the relevance of the Lord has been trivialized, minimized. The generation of children you are raising up, the younger ones, almost don't see God. They almost don't see Him. You really have to do a lot of work to bring God to them, or to bring them to the Lord. And that's why when I saw the worship team here, long skirts, nice holy dressing, I was like, wow, what a blessed team. And I said that let the others know that surely, surely, it is possible even in Australia that you can preserve your purity, that you can preserve your salvation. He's saying here that the My People Church that enters the kingdom of God does not mix worship. He says, you cannot worship Jehovah and another. That means there has to be pure worship, only the blood of Jesus. Even the preaching, you cannot preach the blood and you're lusting at money here and you're using the gospel to manipulate here. He says, no. He says, what fellowship is there between the house of the Lord and the tabernacle of Satan? And he goes on and on and on to tell you what the true characteristics, the true identity of the My People Church is, that you may follow it. The Bible was meant to be a compass to direct you on which way to go to enter. Can I share something deeper a little bit now? Can I? Before we go to Zechariah 13, 7 and 8, on another characteristic of the My People Church. You remember in the garden, at the Garden of Eden, in that garden was called paradise, paradiso, was called paradise. That garden was called paradise. Why? If I asked you now, where is your paradise? Where is your paradise? Don't tell me it's Sydney. Paradise is in heaven. Paradise essentially defines the highest state of blessedness. The highest state of blessedness ever achievable. And that can only be in heaven, right? The highest state of peace ever achievable. That can only be in heaven, right? We all know that. And if the Lord called the garden paradise, then that means in the original blueprint of the creation of the church, the Lord intended that death would not be part of the equation. Can I say it better? I'm now talking about restoration of the church, but I'm beginning from there and then I'll bring you this way. Let me say this. In that garden, there was the tree of life. In that garden, when He created them, death was not factored in the original blueprint. Why? Because He knew they were going to worship obedience. And as long as they worshipped obedience, they would never see death. That is there. He knew that they would worship righteousness. And for as long as they worshiped righteousness, death had no room. He knew that they were supposed to worship holiness. And that for as long as they worshiped holiness, they had eternity, eternal life with God. There was no death in the factor, in the equation. Until the events of Genesis 3. When you see the perversion of the word by the enemy, asking, questioning, and so forth. Why? In Genesis 3, I'm just passing by this because I want to bring you to a message here before we go to my people, so you may understand where we are at. He's saying this. Hallelujah. He's saying this. He's saying in Genesis 3, and then you see the fall, the falling away. And when the fall comes in, then now you hear that death has been factored in. Walk with me on this, right? However, if you look at Genesis 3, 8, verse 8, you see that essentially man, Adam and Eve, used to walk with God in the cool of the day. They walked with God. How awesome. They walked with the Lord on a daily basis. How powerful. And he warned them, don't do this, because if you do that, you'll die. Meaning, he knew they were going to obey. And if you obeyed, death was not there. Isn't our God capable of doing that? Hallelujah. However, and I'm saying, Genesis 3:8, you see, the original plan was that you, the church, may walk with God. Ah! This is powerful now that this has happened also. Right? But first, I'm talking about restoration of the church. Then I'm going to come to this walk here. Right? But let me fetch it from there first. Before I talk about this cloud of the glory that has now come to walk with the church like he walked with Israel. In Genesis chapter 3, 1 onwards, you see the fall. The disobedience. The termination of worshiping obedience. And when you look at Genesis 3, 8, then you understand the true original plan was that they may walk with God on a daily basis and never ever see death. That was the plan for the church. However, after the fall, when the judgment comes, then what do you see? You see the two cherubi of glory. And by the way, I have seen the two cherubi. They are two of glory, and each one of them has this different role. However, you now see the two cherubi of glory at the door with flaming swords. Wow! Meaning the ark was here. The ark of the covenant was in the garden. The throne was there. Huh? You need to go into the Bible and begin looking for that river, the Pishon and so forth, the land of Havilah. Probably they disappeared, but you need to give yourself food for thought about those. But can you follow this now? Walking with God in the cool of the day. Genesis 3, 8. When there is a fall, a disappointment, there is now the judgment. However, when you go to Genesis 5, chapter 24, can we read it? Are you ready with me? At this rate, I'll lose all of you, right? Nobody is with me anymore. Do you still like me? No, don't like me. Like the Lord. Enoch walked with God, and he was no more because God took him away. Hallelujah. When he gave birth to Methuselah, then for 300 years he walked with God. You live about, let's say, can I give you 100 or 90? Whichever you want. But for him, 300 years walking with God. Wow. That means even 1,000 years he can make you walk with him. Listen to this. When I see the way Enoch walked with God, and he was no more, meaning God took him away, raptured him, he saw no death, he did not see death, then I understand the original blueprint for the creation of the church in the garden. Are we together? I think some serious food needs to be given to you here. I need to give you such things to grow so you can mature up like the other church that is enjoying a big revival. This is my only window to give you this. That's why I'm taking this advantage to really give you what matters, a lot of it. And if you read, look at this now, if you read the scriptures therein, the motifs flanking both sides of that Genesis 5:24, if you read there, you see some people there. And so lived for this time and died. So lived for this time and died. So lived for these years and died. But Enoch walked with God and was no more. Lived and died. Lived and died. Walked with God and was no more. Be careful now. Are you walking with God in the church? Some people are living in the church, right? Be careful now. But look at this now. The original plan was this, that mankind would walk with God and would never see death. I want you to see the consequences of apostasy. And if you got the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5, look at what it says there. Hebrews 11:5. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5. Can I read? Are we there, precious people? He says, Hebrews 11:5, he says, by faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who was pleasing God. Who pleased God? Verse 6. Are you there? Are we together? Verse 6. Verse 6 he says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And then you go now to the book of Jeremiah 29:13, where it says, you will seek me, and when you seek me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your life, then I will be found by you. Do you understand now? He's saying that Enoch walked with God, but the engine, the fuel that separates Enoch from Adam, Adam and Eve, they fall and they lose the eternity, the original blueprint. But Enoch now, the engine that propels his walk with God is this: faithfulness. Faith. And he says, for without faith it's not possible, he says. So you can imagine, at the end there he says, those who earnestly seek him, in that context, meaning, in that faith, Enoch continued to seek God, seek God, seek God, seek God, seek God, seek God, and he sought him until the Lord said, enough is enough, I take you away. Enough is enough.
You have so much zeal, I cannot handle this. Do you understand me? And so, now the glory of the Lord has come to walk with the church. Hello, somebody, good morning. The glory of the Lord has now come to the church, and now you understand why he came. He wants to walk with the church until she will be no more. Raptured. Are we together? Oh yes, I need to give you these things so you may understand. We are so blessed in this poverty of mine, in this rustiness of me, rustiness, we have the glory on our side here. We have the glory here. Wow. So that means we can really now, God has remembered us, right? We can exploit this to the max until we enter. Capitalize on this. Because how about if the glory had visited the other side of the Atlantic? To start getting flight tickets and to start paying conference fees of $2,000. And they make deals with hotels, they make deals with who? They would have made a bomb out of it, right? And that's why I'm saying, now that the glory is on our side, in this poverty, the rural preacher like me, from the villages of Africa, I think it is time to really exploit this and enter. Now we can direct the world. We can tell them which way to go. Now we have a voice. A rural preacher like me. You saw the villages where I preach, right? Rurals. He says, there are so many there. They lived and died. Lived and died. But Enoch walked with God and was snatched away. Was no more. Was taken away. And he's saying, now that the glory has come, there is a certain church. Now that the Lord himself has come, there is somebody in Australia that is going to be aware that, hey, the Lord is in the house. And will begin to walk with God, walk with God, walk with God, seeking God, until the Lord will say, enough is enough, I take you away. Oh yes, that is the message that comes from Enoch. Meaning, the Lord is saying, that when Adam and Eve fell, and he brought Jesus of Nazareth to the cross, Jesus restored the church fully back to the Enoch status of walking with God. Meaning if you are born again today, you have the capacity to walk with the Lord in the house. The church was fully restored on the cross by Jesus, after having fallen at the garden, fully restored to the original Enoch stature, where anybody now who is born again has capacity, has the propensity, the ability to walk with God until they are raptured, until they don't see death. That's why I've come. I told you my God would come. Maybe wearing one trouser, one jacket every day, but it's all right. Who will enter with these things? Nobody, right? Good morning, Australia. It's a new day. I think you don't know these things. He's saying, he walked with Israel faithfully. Faithfully for 40 years until they entered. How much more at this hour when the glory of the Christ is now about to be revealed?
the darling of heaven, the one and only Son, how much more will he walk with you, the bride? Does somebody understand me? I think we need to get serious on our salvation. Ah, isn't this powerful? This is the message I brought. If you ask me, where are the checks you brought for us? I said, that I may not have. But the Christ I have, that I will give you. He said, we have a real opportunity, like Enoch, to walk with God. How awesome. And if you follow down into the book of Jude, I think, you see that Enoch, God loved Enoch so much that in fact, at one point, in fact, Enoch, you can essentially say Enoch was a silent prophet. Because the Lord showed him the events, not of rapture, of the second coming. He showed him the Jerusalem events. That's why you find Enoch prophesying that God will punish the ungodly for their ungodly act that they did in the most ungodly way. When he comes now in the splendor of his angels, Enoch sees the Jerusalem coming. Our God is like this. Look, he is just. When Daniel separated in chapter 1 from the kingly diet, the wines and the pork, the shrimps and the tortoises, I don't know what the king of Babylon eats. That's what I'm saying. You wouldn't know, would you? Maybe snakes and tortoises and porks and what? I don't know. I'm only saying things. And if I'm hurting you, then please, I'm saying them in the name of the Lord, right? He refused. Daniel said that, hey, but in Jerusalem, we never ate this food. How do I begin now to start eating this here? And yet in Jerusalem, we were never raised on this. Our identity does not allow us to defile. If you look at what he says, please, don't allow me to defile myself in this way. Separation. And owing to that separation, the Lord treasured Daniel, and I told you today, Daniel sealed the scroll that only the Messiah could open at the end in these days. We have a real opportunity here. The opportunity has availed itself for the church. Listen to this now. For the church, when Israel followed the cloud, they became the people whose God is Jehovah from that time until today. The whole world knows. We have a real opportunity here too. To follow the cloud of the Lord, to become the church that everybody knows, hey, they are the people whose God is Jehovah. Oh yes, you know, in Kenya, let me share with you, in Kenya it is known. The senior doctors, the deputy directors of medical services, the senior assistant directors of medical services, the top doctors of Centers for Disease Control, which is based in Atlanta, Georgia, they have centers in Kenya, they come, they say, hey, now, and you know what the Lord did is this, let me first share a little bit. The Lord shocked me. What the Lord did, I did not know that when they are testing for HIV/AIDS, they have a system they call the algorithms. Meaning, when they open the clinic today, they test people. But the first person who will test positive, they will take the blood and divide into two. Once they have tested positive, half of the blood goes for research. And number 10, who has tested positive for today, is taken. So they have a system of collecting samples. And what the Lord did, he went and healed a research patient. You don't know the Lord. In Kenya, they now know the Lord. They even say, though, in fact, they held a meeting of NASCOP, National AIDS and STI Control Program. NASCOP, those are top doctors of HIV/AIDS in the nation. They held a conference and they said, there is only one place, and that was Dr. Mohammed, really, he is a Muslim, who is the head of NASCOP, was the one addressing, and he was saying, there is only one place, and there is only one servant, and this is the servant of the Lord, and one church in which HIV has been healed, and we have the records. That is a Muslim doctor. I want it to happen here. That it be known, as you walk with the Lord, they say, those are the people whose God is Jehovah. Hallelujah. And the doctors, they normally come and kneel down. There's a particular place where I meet people, you know the place. And they kneel down and say, tell me, can I receive the Jesus you're preaching? Can you lead me to that Jesus? Because I can tell you in the principles and practices of medicine, never ever. It is supposed to be once you're HIV positive. And you know they have the records of these patients, even the clinical stage. Then all of a sudden, they stop medication, the symptoms disappear, the patients are unhealthy. 3 months they examine, they're still negative. 3 years, still negative. So what? And these days, I insist on DNA PCR, DNA testing, the ultimate test in the world. God is feared in that land. I'm looking for days. The reason for which I'm here is that there be days before the rapture when revival enters the church. When now the people of Australia, if you want to be healed, there is a people there. That is the church whose God is Jehovah. People are being healed there. And you'd rather make sure that you are also incorruptible. Because there is the maintenance of the integrity of the gospel. What has happened today to the church globally? That's why the Lord shows them to me. Some of them, the Lord brings me in a dream, and normally it gives me a Bible. The hand of the Lord in the dream gives me a Bible. The way he gave me NIV when he called me, the hand gave me NIV. But he gives me a Bible and says, can you give it to him? You are so-called motivational preachers, right? Motivational, you know, people who are meant to cheer the flesh, eh? He says, can you take this Bible and give this man and tell him to preach from it? Yeah, oh yes. The truth must be spoken here that when you leave this place, you have been set free completely. Nobody lied to you again. Oh, I'm an inspirational speaker. I'm a motivational speaker. There are those who are just good for fundraising. Come in the morning, he's wearing another suit and he's doing his thing on the altar. He's doing this. He's saying, I paid a big offering. And then someone came with the key of an aircraft like this and gave to me. Sometimes even the most, even you cannot believe that, right? I mean, the Lord is able to do everything, but can it be done through corruption? Should it be done through corruption? You see that? There is the integrity of the pulpit to be maintained. Because this pulpit here can lead an entire nation into eternity. Something you cannot buy with all the money from the central bank. Integrity. Today, the pulpit has lost integrity. I was amazed sometimes when you go to apply for visa. But now it's okay. For me, the Lord has helped me. Now they know me. But in the beginning, you go to an embassy. They said, you know, pastors, when we give visa, pastors especially, we don't encourage to give pastors so much. Because in the past, when we gave them visa, they were going to Argentina. And when they reached Brazil, they melted inside Brazil. When you heard stories, you really heard stories and you were shocked. And the Lord is saying, the opportunity has availed itself for us to walk with God like Enoch did. Because the glory of the Lord has come, has finally come. The Lord himself is here. You can walk with him. And there is a church that will continue to live in the house until she dies. While there is a church, a remnant church, that has now just discovered that the Lord is in the house and will begin to start walking with the Lord until she will enter. Did you understand the message? But you've seen the restoration, right? The restoration from Adam into Enoch, and the Messiah comes and restores us back to the stature that was intended. However, I want to mention this to you. When the church was restored at Calvary, restored fully to the original blueprint where we can walk with God, there are safeguards, there are caveats, there are warnings, there are provisions that have been given to the church. And I mentioned them in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 6. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 to 31. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. And also the book of Numbers chapter 15, I think verse 30 to 37, whichever. Those are safeguards that warn about the abuse of the grace at this hour. The dangers and the tragedy of abusing the grace at this hour. He says, when Adam and Eve fell, then the Messiah came to restore that. However, now, if the church will fall and abuse the grace and say that the first Calvary was not sufficient enough to restore her, that is what is called a tragedy. Why? Because the Messiah will never ever go back to the cross. That is now the completion of the sermon I gave on Enoch. That be careful. He has given us an opportunity here that we may repent. The glory is in the house. Joel talked about it. He said, when the glory comes, your sons, your daughters, the servants, both men and women, would be inundated, flooded with the glory of the Lord. And he says, they would dream dreams and see visions. But the dreaming of dreams and seeing of visions has one purpose. That purpose is that the life of God in heaven will now enter. In other words, the life-giving spirit of the Lord will now flow into the church. That is Ezekiel 47, verses 1 to verse 6. The river that he crossed was to the ankle. He went further, 1,000 cubits was to the knee, another 1,000 cubits to the waist, another 1,000 cubits became a river he could not cross. You have to be swept in the direction of the current. And this year, I saw that river. And it's on the YouTube, I'm sure. And then, what amazed me, the Lord showed me some ministries that were trying to swim against the current, and I was so afraid. I don't know why, in the way the Lord constructed in the dream, he constructed their boats like boats made out of baskets. You know, a basket, the way you weave a basket, porous, water could enter. And so the boats were about, it was tremendous to look at it. They decided to go against the current and they drowned right before my eyes. There are some ministries, there are some boats. The majority of ministries, the majority of the boats in Australia are right now attempting to swim, to boat, to row against the current. But something tells me that there is a tsunami current that has come. You can never try against it, right? It's quite a tsunami, right? You cannot stand it. Can you go against this current? It will be a tragedy. There are lots of ministries in this land that are right now trying to row, to swim, to row their boats against the current, but they will all drown. I have seen the drowning. That's a prophecy I'm giving here today. And drowning with their inhabitants therein. So ask yourself, the church I am in, is this boat moving in the direction of the current? Isaiah 47 verses 1 to 6. Or we are attempting to go against the current. The current now is leading the church towards heaven, towards righteousness, towards holiness. Can you go against that? How will you survive? There is so much I want to give you on this restoration, because when you see the works of Isaiah 53, that is indeed the price that was paid to restore the first fall. Because he says, and Enoch had faith. In Hebrews 5 we read, right? Faith is what propelled him to be faithful, to walk with God. Then we begin to understand the apostasy that took place in the garden. It was actually the falling away from faith. And what is faith? Faith is believing God. Not believing in. I'm just saying believing God. If God says it will happen today, it will happen today. You just take him for his word, right? That means when he instructed them, they failed to take him for his word and they listened to a second opinion. Do you understand that? So, apostasy in the garden became the failure to believe God. And now, it was restored at Calvary. But when I look at the church, it's as though she's crying for another Calvary. No. The Lord is saying there will not be another Calvary. He's saying this is the window that Joel prophesied. That when the glory comes, dreams, visions in the church, and those dreams and visions bring the wisdom of God. Meaning, if somebody is going to come and preach here, and they are walking in a dream, you see them walking with gumboots of mud, and leaving marks of mud here. At least you can lift one hand and ask your pastor, this preacher you say that is coming on Monday, how come I'm seeing him walking here with mud and gumboots? And the pastor will understand what that means. What the Lord will have said, right? That is the purpose of dreams and visions. For me, it's interesting because sometimes when people are coming to meet me, I get to know who it is. I get to see people before they come, who it is. And if they're going to lie to me, I also get to know. So did you understand that? So, the purpose of dreams and visions is to clean out the falsehood from the church. Satan is the father of all falsehood, all lies. When you clean out falsehood in the church, that means you establish the truth in the church. And when you establish the truth, that means you have established the word of God. The reason there will be the abomination that causes the desolation after the rapture is because the word, the truth will have been removed taken up. And there will now be room for all counterfeit kind of miracles and name it, and lies, and the worshipping of another. But for as long as the whole... Oh, how do I handle this? Can I also mention something now? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, because some of you are philosophical, you are involved in, do you believe in pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, whatever. Can we settle that today? Oh, yes. Then we can just prepare for the Messiah, right? 2 Thessalonians, I'm reading very fast. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, let me find it also. You can read from verse 3 probably, but I'm saying verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. Can I read now? Are you there? It says, "For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so." Will continue to, again, but the one who now continues to hold it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then he says, then the lawless one will be revealed. Can I explain this? Let us now settle that debate once for all, okay? Listen to this now. He's saying that the spirit of Antichrist is already in operation. The constitutions, every country is throwing out God. You know all these things. However, he's saying, the person of Antichrist will not be revealed until he that holds him back is taken out of the way. Can I explain this? In other words, he's saying that there is somebody that is holding the person of the Antichrist back now. Who is this person? Thank you very much, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one holding him back. The Holy Spirit is the only one with the capacity to hold him back. But if you read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 and verse 16, we just read. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6, are we there? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, everybody here, are we there? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and from verse 12 on, if you read it and you come to verse 15, can I read now 15? And 15 it says, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself?" Members of Christ himself. "Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite with the prostitutes? Never. Prostitute, never." Verse 16. "Do you not know that he who unites with the prostitute is one with her in the body? For it is said that the two will be one." And he goes on. And then he says, verse 19 is what I was looking for. Verse 19. "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." He says that your body is the holy tabernacle of the Holy Spirit, the holy habitation of the Holy Spirit. But if you read the 2 Corinthians we just read, chapter 6, you remember? 2 Corinthians 6, 14 on. Hallelujah. And he says, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. He says, verse 16 rather. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. Are you there? He says, "What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God." So listen now. He says, whoever is holding him back will continue to do so, and hence he will not be revealed until he that holds him back is taken out of the way. And now he has said that the Holy Spirit is the one that holds, has the capacity, the power to hold him back. And then now, we are finding out now that, however, it is the church which is the holy temple of the Holy Spirit. Which church? The holy church. That you, who is the holy tabernacle of the Holy Spirit, you are the habitation of the Holy Spirit. Because you are still here, then the Holy Spirit has a habitation here now. And so he can continue holding back. But when the rapture takes place and the church, the holy church, is taken away, then even the dispensation of the grace comes to an end and the Holy Spirit has no habitation, is taken away. Then the Antichrist is revealed. Have you understood that? So we can settle this once for all. I don't care, theological college, whatever. I did not go from there. He called me from medical. I did not go through there. Only the Lord taught me. And now I know that the best teacher is the Holy Spirit. Because some of those philosophies and schools of thought will confuse you. He's saying, don't worry about those schools of thought. He's saying, you just prepare for the coming of the Messiah. If he comes tomorrow, it's all right if you are ready. If you die tonight before he comes and you are ready, it is still also okay. It's all right. If he comes before you die, and you are prepared, it is still all right. You just prepare. Did you understand me? Has it been settled now? Yeah, let nobody lie to you. Do you believe in post-tribulation or mid? No, I don't subscribe to that. There is even no time. Like you can see, all the time is supposed to be for preparing the church. So are we together now? He's saying that the church will be taken away. And when she is taken away, then he will be revealed. He's saying very clearly that the Holy Spirit is the only one holding him back. And he's saying that there is a counterfeit that will take place after the Holy Spirit is taken away. There is a false trinity that will come. Hallelujah. The devil, the Antichrist, the false prophet that will implement, execute the policies of worshiping the Antichrist. He will try to mimic the Holy Spirit. You know these things, right? Hallelujah.